Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody?
Good morning.
How are you? I'm going to meander again. I'm a meanderer. It's okay. I don't bite. It's good to see you. It's good to see you. Everybody doing good this morning? Are you warm or are you cold? Are you warming up?
I am warm.
I know most of you may not recognize me because I'm usually in blue jeans and tennis shoes. But yes. That's what I'm talking about. It's one of my biggest fans right there. But the closet does go a little bit deeper than that. So I just wanted to.
You look great.
And I got socks, too. Those are my Star Wars socks I got for Christmas. So, you know, the closet's a little deeper than people think. But so we're doing being, right? Everybody knows we're getting into this whole thing about being. It's going through all the whole year, and we're just discussing different aspects of that. And I've been thinking, pondering that, and thinking about what that means. And this last week, I'm having a conversation with a friend of mine. And, you know, how many have been through a home renovation? Raise your hand. Of any kind, small or large. Okay. And have you had to, if I said to you, I'm going to renovate your whole house, how many would be up for that? Probably me. I definitely. Now, Jimmy's like, I don't know. There might be a catch here. You know it. It's coming. Now, the catch is, if I told you I'm going to renovate your whole house, but you had to live through it, you had to stay, you couldn't go. How many still want that done? Yeah? You'd live through that? The banging, the clanging, the dust, walls coming down, no privacy. I mean, you have to just live through it. Construction all the way, months. I mean, yeah, if y'all been around a construction site, then you know that gets annoying. It gets old real fast. And if you had, I know Calvin just had, you guys just had your kitchen redone, right? Because storm and all that stuff. So, and then there was another leak in the water. So, I mean, that's aggravating, right? The deal with this stuff is, it's like, it's a concept or an idea. You're renovating your mind to be something else. Okay? To become something else. But the deal is that you can't move out. You got to live through that renovation. It's going to be a lot of noise. It's going to be a lot of dust. It's going to get ugly. But you can't. If you want this, we got to stay. We got to say, I'm here. This is it. The saws, the hammers, the whatever it takes. Let's tear down these walls. Let's build it back up. Because you know what? It's going to be better, right? And I was having my conversation with my friend and telling him, and it's like, it's the same thing. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, I want to be better at this, or I want to change my life in this way. But how willing are we to live through whatever it takes to do that? Because sometimes you start to see the reality, right, of what that takes, and then you go, oh, no, I'm good. I'm just going to go back and just be negative again, and it's okay. That's much easier, you know, and I knew it wasn't going to work anyways, you know. We got to hang in there. So I want to encourage you to hang in there. It's a process, and if you're thinking, it's 2016, how many made resolutions this year? Any kind of resolution, you know, the most famous of all is exercise and getting fit, right? And you know, a lot of times that just wanes. The energy just kind of wanes from that. But I just want to encourage you this morning, as you get in to the presence of God and you begin to worship, remind yourself to hang in there. No matter what happens, it's 2016, you have the opportunity to be a new person, to be whoever you want today, right now, in his presence. Buy into it, whatever it takes. You guys can start playing music if you want. Like, I mean, I feel like I'm, yeah. Amen.
Amen.
So stand with me. Let's get into his presence. Let's worship.
Made me free.
draw me to you and set my heart on fire. I want to know you.
Let your presence overtake my heart. you, Lord God, that we can surrender who we are. We can surrender those parts of us, God, that are hard to just to lay down. And as Jason was just talking about the renovating, God, that you're just, that you are renovating my heart, God. I know you're renovating things in me that, Father, sometimes I didn't even know needed to be renovated. But, Father, I surrender it at your feet. We surrender our thoughts about what we think is supposed to be, Lord. We surrender it, Father, so you can create in us the heart, the being. You can create in us exactly, God, what you've called us to be. And we just thank you, Lord. Not only, Father, can we trust you, Lord, but you are so faithful. You are so faithful.
There is no love sweeter than the love you pour on me. There is no song sweeter than the song you sing to me.
All the hearts who are content, and all who feel unworthy, and all who hurt with nothing left, will know that you are holy, and know that you and shout it, go on and scream it from the mountains, go on and tell it to the masses that he is God. Shout. Scream it from the tell it to the masses that He is God. Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your
Father, we pour out our praise to you today, God. We thank you so much that you give life and love and hope. God, in those times that we need it, God, you're always there, God, and we're so, so thankful for that. God, let your presence be overwhelming today, God. Let your love, your hope, if anybody here needs to be brought out of darkness to light, God, let today be that day, Father. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name.
You glad you're here? Yeah, better being in jail, isn't it? Or, your closet does go deep there, Jason. Didn't know it went that deep. We're going to do something a little different this morning. We have a water baptism, but if you're a guest or a member, please fill out your card and place an offering plate at the end of the message. We appreciate it. And if you're a guest, that for the first time on your way out, there's a gift for you at the information booth. If you pick up one of those cups, as a compliment to you for being here with us. Thank you for coming. Love water baptism because that's what it's all about. Jesus said before he left, he said, I want you to go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And when you do, it's like they're going into this watery grave. And when they come out of it, they come out a new person. Aren't you glad that you've already died and been buried? Isn't that great? So you don't have to fear death. You already died. You died when you accepted Christ, and you've been water baptized, and so there's no more death for you. The Bible says you live forever. You have eternal life, and nothing can ever take your life. Well, that's good preaching. We ain't even gotten to the word yet. Aren't you glad for water baptism? And so just rejoice as these two people are water baptized.
Alicia Anglin, and my parents are Michelle Anglin, Denise Kelly, and Thomas Anglin. When I asked Jesus into my heart, it was last Easter at EWC Kids. And why I want to get baptized is that it feels right, God tells me to, and I get to meet him in the water.
So, Alicia, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and of the Lord Jesus Christ.
My name is Julian Atkins, and my father is Billy Atkins, and my mother is Michelle Wagner. I was saved on September 20th, 2015, and I'm ready to get baptized so I can meet Jesus in the water.
Spider-Man, whichever one it might be. God's got great things for your life. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. So I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow, that great. Got a note this morning that Liz Norris is going to be going to Ecuador today. Is it leaving today for 3 weeks? And God bless her and be praying for her. Going to talk about serving today. And Martin Luther King made this statement, everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. And the movie Pearl Harbor said that there's no greater heart than the heart of a volunteer. no greater heart than the heart of a volunteer. And we have a lot of great hearts around here. A lot of great hearts that volunteer to do a lot of things. And I want to talk shortly today because our children are in here. And they are just like you. They love short messages. They are just like every adult here. They love short messages. And so I remember my dad telling me the story of a young preacher who admired this older preacher because he could preach the exact right amount every Sunday morning. Just, he perfect. And so the young preacher asked him one time, said, how do you do that? How do you time your messages so perfectly? He said, well, I take a certain mint and I put it in my mouth. And when it dissolves, I know to stop. He thought, wow, that's a great idea. So he did that for years. And it worked great for years until one day he reached in his pocket to get a certain mint and he put in a button. And so I hope this morning I don't have a button in the back of my mouth, but a certain, so we can time it just right. You ready to go? Buckle your seatbelt and let's go. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, the writer says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave or a servant and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death. The little Greek translation of let this mind be in you is the way Jesus saw himself is the only valid way to see yourself. The way Jesus saw himself is the only valid way for you to see yourself. Old King James says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, he made himself of no reputation and gave that up. The New International Version says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ, who did not think his equality with God was something to be grasped. You know, we're having an acronym on the back of your bulletin. There's five words we're going to be talking about this year. And the acronym comes to grasp. It's giving, it's renewing, it's attending, it's serving, and it's praying. And we're going to be talking about those five words for the next several months. And all of those words end with something that's very critical, and it is ing, because that means it's ongoing. That I'm giving, I'm praying, I'm attending, I'm serving. And it means it's going on and on and on. It never stops because that is who I am. I'm this kind of being. I'm being all of these things on an ongoing basis. But before you can grasp this, you're probably going to have to let go of something else. I'm going to let you think about that for a moment. Before you can grasp your being, your true being, then you're going to have to let go of your false being or who you really are not. Because, see, most people in the earth are still walking around masquerading as someone who they really aren't. Because that's not who you are. Who you really are is your being. That you live and you move in him and you have your being. That's who you really are. Anything outside that is not who you really are. The Apostle Paul in Philippians also, he was caught one time between two opinions. And he was grasping two things at one time. He was grasping a desire to go to heaven. He was at a place in his life, he said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He was at a place in his life where if it was up to him, if he could choose his place of being, if you will, if he could choose that place of being right then and now, he said, I would choose heaven. I would choose to leave you and go there. But I know that you're needful of me here. And so what happened was, he says, for me, living means for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me, but for your sakes, it's better that I continue here. Aren't you glad that he did? But he had to let go. He had to let go of an opinion, of a desire, of something that he was grasping with all of his being. He had to let go of that to do what he was supposed to do here. You can't serve two masters. You can't grasp two loves. You can't grasp two opinions. You can't grasp two different things in your life that doesn't need to be in your life. You've got to let go of one so you can fully grasp your true being and who you are. And you're placed here on this earth to be a servant. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Boy, Reverend, I read that. I've read this all my life, and I thought, my gosh, if you're going to speak like God's talking through you. You know why? Because he is. Because he is. Wow. You have the gift of helping others. Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever. Wow. Wow. You see, we're all called to be servants. But there is even a gift of serving that's a little higher above. And some of you have the gift of serving, but you're all supposed to serve. We're all, you know, in John chapter 13, it says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, then began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. That deed was supposed to have already been done. Whomever was the owner of that household was to have already taken care of this very cultural moment. To wash your feet from the dust off your feet, from your dusty walk to my home. It was a very polite, kind, cultural thing to do. But nobody had done it. The basin was there, and the towel was there, and the water was there. And every time you go into a room, every time you go into a circumstance, every time you go into a situation, the towel and the basin and the water is already there. We have to decide, am I going to pick it up? Who's going to get the basin? Who's going to get the towel? Who is going to pour the water? Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? And you know what's amazing about this scripture? Is he stooped down and washed his enemy's feet. Judas Iscariot had already determined to betray Christ. And he knew that. And he still washed his feet. Wow. three things. The reason Jesus could do that, he knew where he came from. He knew what God had given him, and he knew where he was going back to. When you get up every day and know these three things, I know where I came from. It's far more than your mother's womb. Thank God for that. Thank God for moms and thank God for dads. That's not where you came from. You are in the heart of God for eternity. You have always been and always will be. You came from the Father. He's given you his name. He's given you his authority. And that's where you're going back. And when I go back, I'm going back. I'm carrying something back. That I'm carrying a life here on this earth back to heaven. And going to give it back to the Father and say, this is what I did with what you gave me on this planet. This is what I've done with all your gifts you've given me. This is what I've done. And now I'm laying them at your feet. And I'm casting my crowns before you because you're the King of Kings and you're the Lord of Lords. Wow. It's going to happen one day, church. You know, I've been accused of giving you a primrose path. I'm glad I got that accusation. I love being criticized for preaching positive. I really do. It's the greatest criticism I ever get. I've done sermons, funerals, and they come up to me. I've had people come up to me and say, well, you just preached them right into heaven, didn't you? I said, I hope so. That's what I'm put here on this earth to do. Tell people the good news. I wasn't told to tell people bad news. I was told to tell them good news. But I'm going to take you off the primrose path for just a moment and be daddy. Is that okay? We do have a life to live on this planet that should be pleasing to our Father. And we will give an account one day of everything we've ever done, good or bad, here. Oh, all my Amen-ers, where'd you go? Where did you go? Where are you? I know you're out there. Where are you? Where are you? I'm called to be a servant. And he says, I give this man gifts and this man gifts and this man gifts. And one day, it's going to come an accounting time. And when it happens, he says, you've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. My daddy had cornbread theology. If you don't know what that is, you're about to know. And his cornbread theology was, he says, some of you looking to have a mansion in heaven, but you haven't sent up enough lumber. You probably are going to have just a cabin in the corner of glory land. That's an old song, you know, in case you don't know. It's, Lord, build me just a cabin in the corner of glory land. You ever heard that song? Most of that, what is this? Just built, and you know why they sang that song back then? Because they knew that's all the lumber they sent up, Billy. they knew I ain't sent up enough material to build a mansion. I've only done enough to get a little cabin in the corner of glory land. How many want more than that? How many know God has bigger things for us than that? Whew, that's good preaching. Yep. And I'm going to close out with Hebrews chapter 6. And I love Hebrews. Paul tells them, he says, God's got some better things for you than what I've been talking about. He says, dear friends, even though we're talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. And I just want to stop there and say, although I just said that you ain't sent up enough material, but only for a corner in glory land, I want you to know that I'm really not talking about you. I'm talking about these other people in these other churches. I'm not talking about you. I believe that there's something, this doesn't apply to you because I'm confident that you are meant for better things, things that come with salvation. That's not you. I wouldn't preach it. Daddy's cornbread theology wasn't for you. You got such a big old mansion up there because you serve and you've given God so much. He says, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain. Certain what? That what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and their endurance. Wow. I know you didn't quite get it, so as Kitty's coming to the piano, I'm going to say it where you'll get it. If you'll serve others, if you'll be a servant, if you will take up the water basin and you'll wrap the towel around you and you'll wash somebody's feet, simple task. Didn't say that you'd save their life. Didn't say you'd jump out in front of a Mack truck for them. Didn't say that you would dive into a burning hell and snatch them out. Just said you'd stoop down and you'd wash their feet and do a simple task just to make you feel better. Just to make you feel better. That I would just take the moment and walk up to you and go, "Man, Terry, I really love you. You've really been a blessing to me all my life. And I just want you to know that." I just washed his feet. Just told him how much you cared. I just thank you for being such a friend. Thank you, Joe, for being such a good, loyal friend. Love you. Just washed his feet. That's all you. And you know what he says? If you do this, three things will happen. Your expectations will come true. What you hope for, the good thing that you expect, will come about. Now, there are expectations that are wrong and they're bad, and they always bring about harm. They always bring about disappointment. But when you serve other people, then what you expect and what you hope for, he says, it's going to come about. Number two, you'll keep your spiritual edge. You'll keep your spiritual edge. The spiritual person is not the person who can stand up here and quote you scripture and look real smart. I make you think I'm a whole lot more than I really am. But a spiritual person is not how many passages of scripture I can quote, it's how many I can live. It's how many I'm being. That's a spiritual person who will take up the towel and the water and the basin and give you an encouraging word. You'll keep your spiritual edge. You won't become spiritual dull. You'll be sharp. It won't be said about you, "They're not the sharpest knife in the drawer." What? Anybody ever heard that? "They're not the sharpest knife in the drawer." In other words, you're dull. You're boring. I don't like dull, boring people. I guess I like them. I'm supposed to. But I don't want to be around you. Ready for this? And we'll inherit God's promises. Whoa! That they inherit God's promises. Because there's three things about every servant, every person who serves. It's three things about them. They're obedient. They're obliging. And what's the other one? They're obedient, they're obliging. It's characteristics. They're obedient, they're obliging, and they are whoo! Bang. Oh, I want to be an overcomer. You know how you become an overcomer? Oh, this is so good. Oh, thank you, Lord. This is so good. You overcome by being an overcomer. And I overcome by overcoming my anger and my distrust and my dislike and my dismay. I overcome by being kind when I don't want to be kind. I overcome by loving my enemies and blessing my enemies. I overcome because when I'm slapped on the face, I turn the other cheek. I overcome when I say I'm not going to yield to what the enemy wants me to yield to and what my flesh wants me to yield to, but I'm going to yield to the will and the power and the spirit of the living God who lives within me, because that's who I am. I am a God being who can overcome everything that comes my way. Wow. And I do that by washing your feet. I do that because nobody else is going to take up that water basin and nobody's going to wrap the towel around, but I'll do it. I'll do it. Thank you, Holly, for getting the volunteers that you got and handing them a towel and handing them a water basin and saying, let's wash some kids' feet today. Let's let them know how important they are. Let's let them know that they are God too. Let's let them all know. Don't you just like it when they give you a cup of coffee? They even pour it for you now. You don't have to pour your coffee here anymore. We got coffee pourers. They pour your coffee. Now, they won't put my milk in yet, but we'll get there. But they'll pour you. You know what? Every time I go back, they don't never look at me and go, you back again? They just, and you know what? They poured it so much, they know what to pour. Half and half. Little decaf, little calf. Because you're going to preach. We don't want to give you too much calf. Because you already got enough calf in you. You don't need any more. Aren't you glad? You know what? When you do that, when you serve, as the ushers are coming right now, let me tell you why. You're talking about loving ushers? Whew. Aren't you glad they pass that bucket every week? I am. Listen, I have a staff here, and I've lived off this for 40 years. Thank you. Thank you, ushers, for receiving tithes and offerings so that the work of the kingdom can go on. So that this is the only thing I know of on the face of the earth, that when you put your money in that bucket, it goes for eternity. When you paid your light bill, it was just for a month. It was for a month. And if you don't pay it again, you ain't going to have lights. It's just that simple. But you know what? When you put money, tithes and offerings in this bucket, it's eternity. It lasts forever. There are kids being fed. There are lives being changed. There's marriages being put back together. There's the unseen becoming seen. There's the discouraged being encouraged. There's the powerless and the weak and the thieves and the robbers being welcomed in. There's the rough road being made smooth. There are the high mountains being brought low. There's the discouraged becoming encouraged. There's a person who's on the brink of giving up, giving in. There's a person who thinks, I can't go another day, I can't go another week, finding themselves making and finding themselves changed because there's a church, there's a body of Christ, there's a family of God that believes the best is yet to come. And every week, these ushers gather up the fragments. And when it comes down to it, all God asks you for are fragments. A tenth is a small fragment of my 100. Wow. But it's investing in an eternal, everlasting kingdom, which there shall be no end. Thank you, Ray, for serving. Thank you for making sure my wife gets fed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jerry, thank you for the years and the years and the years and the years that you've served here. Thank you. Jerry's been one, he's come up to me from now and then. He says, you know, people who left, they never came back and told me there was something better. He tells me that about every few months. He says, you know, if they'll come back and get me and let me know there's something better, I'd probably go, Buren, but nobody's come back and said there's anything better. Thank you. God bless you. Lord, we bring our tithes, our offerings, we lift them up to you. I thank you, God, that you're going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. You're going to open windows of heaven, pour out blessings. There will not be room enough for them to receive it. Thank you that everything's going to be timely in their life. We bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we are not done. I know it's early, and you're thinking, oh, Buren is wound up. But we've got some recognitions that we'd like to do this morning and then some opportunities for you to be involved in. Volunteers are the backbone of Eagles Way Church. After I didn't hear the very first part of the message because I was changing, and when I sat down, my mind was somewhere else. Even I knew he was talking about serving. But I got choked up just sitting at my chair because I knew I was going to make the statement that servant leadership is not something that, it's something that you grab hold of and you do. But we've been given a tremendous example. Pastor Buren sometimes takes a bad rap because he's not the one that gets the screwdriver out of the house, or he's not the one that does a lot of the repair work. But if there's a work day here, guess who's here? If there's ham to be carved up for Rust and Hope, guess who's here? If I've got to move tables or some chairs, guess who's saying, can I help? Pastor Buren, I'd like to say thank you for giving the example of serving in this house and in this community. We're going to take the time to recognize some volunteers and decided not to call out names. We have written names down, and they're going to come up on the screen. Anytime you do that, guess what? There's a possibility you forgot a name. If I forgot your name, please, please come tell me, because I don't want to forget it again. And we want to do our very best. But also know that if your name isn't on the screen and you have served, when I ask for those volunteers to stand, I would like for you to stand also. Anna, there's a little bag under your chair. Will you bring that to me real quick? When the volunteers stand, the ushers are going to give you one of these. And it says, we need some more volunteers like you. And yes, it was someone from the children's ministry that suggested we do this. But what I liked about it is it took all of the pastor's meeting, or a portion of the pastor's meeting, to get them made. So not only is there's a little love and care that went into creating this for you. So when you stand, an usher is going to come and give you one of these. And if you happen to be one of those that, you can take that for me, Anna. If you happen to be one of those that gets to stand four or five times today, that is okay. I believe that we have enough for everybody to get one. I have a handful of volunteers that don't fall into kind of the categories that I'm going to be talking about in just a second. These people give tremendous of their time and efforts And I just wanted to mention them to you. Spencer Fry and Donnie Thurston attend the pastor's meetings. They are ordained ministers, and they come and they give of those their time and their talents. And Donnie, even more than others, sometimes he's called upon to pull the grill out and light it up and smoke some things. So give me 1 second. I'm sorry. David Fountain is now the person that organizes our band stuff, and he is compensated for doing that, but he is here 1 to 2 days a week doing other things, working on some graphic arts. Brian Miller is a paid staff person for our children's ministry on a part-time basis, but he gives so much more in the area of graphic design and our website. And Dusty Lee, tackle. Or Goss tackle, does not receive a paycheck. She's a pastor in this house, and she sings on this platform, and she's here 2 to 3 times a week, makes all of the meetings, serves and gives of her time. So thank you for what you do. We appreciate you. What I want to do is we're going to kind of take each of our teams. And I want to talk just a brief second about those teams. I'm going to recognize those team leaders. And then the team leader is going to go back to the tables that are in the back of the room. And they're going to stand there because at the end of the service, when we dismiss, we're going to give you the opportunity to go and to volunteer. And they have sign-up sheets and information back there. But and I told Jason Brown that I wanted to put these in alphabetical order, because there's really no team that is more important than another team. Which finger would you like to remove from your hand today? You don't want to remove any of them because you need and use them all. Our bereavement team, and I asked Miss Penny Wesley if she would stand up for me. There are others other than Miss Penny that work that team, but it has been a heart of hers for quite some time. Our bereavement team provides a meal before or after the funeral or a service, memorial service, for a member of the church and their family. When there is a loss to an immediate family member. So if my grandparent, which would probably be the farthest we would go, not aunts and uncles and second and third cousins, if that were the case, we'd be doing meals for Buren all the time because he has cousins out the yin-yang. But Eagles Way provides a meal, and this bereavement team, in a short notice, gets a meal together. Now, the meat of that meal is purchased. Just can't do quicker and better than fried chicken at some of the, whether it's Eagles or different places. But they make the green beans, or they do the casserole, or they do something along those lines. And so what they are in need of, two things. One, they need someone that is willing to cook an item within a 24-hour notice. So you would have to have that item in stock at your house. And we can provide that, or you can, and then when you get a phone call, you have to be able to get it here by a certain time. Or the second thing that you can do if you want to be a part of that bereavement team is that you could just donate some funds to go towards that. Some people don't have the time, they're working or whatever, but you would like to donate to offset some of those costs. So I have quite a few that are part of the bereavement team. If you have served in any form or capacity, would you stand up? All right, ushers, give them some mores. And Miss Penny, if you'll walk back towards your table. I think Miss Janet might be joining you because they're expecting a large group of people to come by. Second team I would like to recognize is my coffee and donut team. All of you that enjoy that. A couple of weeks ago, I got the privilege to honor Miss Judy Smith, who has been a part of that. Miss Judy is continuing. Every Sunday morning, she goes by Dunkin' Donuts and picks up all the donuts and brings them here bright and early. Isn't that awesome? Aren't you glad she does it? How many parents are glad of that for their children? Elizabeth and Mary, where are you at? If y'all would just stand right where you are at. Elizabeth and Mary have taken over that ministry and are doing that, and they are in need of volunteers, right? Yeah, hey, matter of fact, I think February 21st, they can't be here. So if you want coffee and donuts, somebody needs to volunteer. Actually, no, oh, they got, all right, they already got two back there to do that. But part of that team, all you need to do is arrive here at 9 a.m. on Sundays. You'll make and serve the coffee, put out donuts, and monitor that there isn't abuse by some little children. And then at the when the service begins, you clean up the area, and they will train you and show you how to do that. But we need smiling faces that are willing to serve. Because, you know, sometimes that is a guest is coming in, and a cup of coffee and a smile and how are you this morning may make their day. You're giving Jesus, you're serving, you're washing feet. Thank you. EWC Kids, I've asked Holly and Tasha. They stood and they're going to go back to their table. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Stand back up. Anyone that has served over the last year in the coffee and donut area, will you please stand? I know Jerry Leonard, he's over here standing because he has done it before. Thank you so much. They're bringing you s'mores. Thank you. Holly, you and Tasha, is Tasha in here? I'm going to let you hear their voice for just a minute. They're going to talk about their kids' team.
All right, so what I want everybody, this is group participation. I want you to look to your neighbor and give them a high five. Let's see you do it. All right, so everybody in here is qualified to work in children's ministry. Woo! I need people to give high fives and hugs. That's what we need. But really, there are just a few commitments that that we ask for in children's ministry. The first is that you give at least a monthly commitment. And we can discuss that. Sometimes you don't even have to work that month, but just to have people on hand that I can call when somebody's out. There are many areas to serve in, whether it be music, a small group leader. Small group leader is very similar to a Sunday school teacher. Large group leaders, we're going to start having some other people teach besides me on Sunday morning, and all the kids said, amen. Yeah, uh-huh. I didn't get that. And we'll train you. You don't have to have been involved in children's ministry before. We just want you. And it's an honor to be able to work with our children. They're not the church of the future. They're the church of now. Amen? Amen? Amen. And we will train you. We're going to have, Tasha and I are going to set up a training in a couple months to get everybody that signed up today to come in, and we're going to show you how each part of the ministry works. Tasha's going to show you how many goldfish to give out and how to build a tree in your classroom. She built a tree in her classroom this morning. They're talking about Zacchaeus. How cool is that? So just come see us. If you'll look back, you see all these tables, but ours is the coolest table back there. And I have candy for you, too, if you come and sign up. Only adults. Not kids. Sorry. So sorry. But that's it.
Anything you'd like to? What need is needed?
Well, in the nursery part and the tots part, you just need people that are willing to just be there. Just each child that comes in is, most of my volunteers volunteer monthly, like you pretty much know. And just to love kids, just to come in and I don't have a large script. It's not real fancy. Just to be in there and just to let them know that you care enough to come. So I do need volunteers for next Sunday. So if you saw that, throw that out there. So, but I appreciate everyone that comes and that volunteers, that gets on their knees, and I never have on dress clothes. You never see, that comes past the trees, that just really loves the kids. So. And I don't public speak, so.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone that has volunteered in EWC Kids, please stand. Stay standing until you get your s'more. The next ministry I would like to talk about is the food pantry. Diane Miller. Everybody knows who Diane Miller is, whether you've met her or not, because we've heard her holler. In our food ministry, we serve at the Five Loaves, Two Fish food pantry in Griffin. It is not Eagles Way's food pantry, but we found out that they can serve a bag of groceries for about a fraction of what we could serve a bag of groceries for. So we said, why do our own that get rat infested here? Just teasing, they don't always, but sometimes they do. Serve at one where they have a great plan. And so Eagles Way is responsible for serving on the first and fourth Tuesday. Go ahead and stand up, Diane, because you're going to move back to your table in just a second. On the first and fourth Tuesday from 5 until 6, 1 hour. And on the third Saturday, the same time Rushton's Hope ministry is going on, from 10 until 12. So she is there almost every week, or sometimes more. She gives even more. But I'm going to let her share just real quickly. God gave her when she, you know what happened to her is someone couldn't make it, and she said, well, I'll just fill in this one time. And what happened?
I've been there for, I don't know, 8 years. So, but it's one of those things where these people come in, and you just, all they want is somebody to show them a little dignity and respect and love. And so that's what we do.
Awesome. Thank you for doing what you do. If you have served at the food pantry, would you please stand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Diane, if you will move back to your table so that people can come and see you and sign up and volunteer. Our media department. Jason Brown, will you stand up where you're at back there in the booth back there? Jason is our director back there and oversees the media. He is in need of people that can operate a camera. And actually, they'll train you to operate a camera. They need light operators, someone who will change the settings and different things. All it is clicking a button. Every now and then, they have me back there doing it. So, I mean, anybody can do it. And they have people that operate the lyrics. There's a little more to that one. But if you have some of those technical skills and you know, and they don't need someone just, you know, five people to do it on a Sunday. They need a team that they can rotate so that every time they come in, they don't have to continue to do it every week. They can have a Sunday off. So if you are on the, obviously our media camera guys are already standing, but if you serve on the media team, will you stand up? Look back here in this booth. All you guys back there, stand up. Our prayer team. Now, I didn't let this person know that I was going to say something about it, because our prayer team, the way that it operates is the prayer requests that are put on the back of the connection card that is dropped into the offering bucket, or if someone calls the church office about a prayer request or we get an email, then that information is sent to the prayer team via email. The responsibility then of the prayer team is to just pray. And there may not be a whole lot of information that is attached to the request, but you pray as God leads you, and you, however, your aspect of praying over that request. But Lynn Chambers, Lynn, if you will stand. She was our prayer chain before we even had a prayer chain or a prayer team, and she's still a heavy, large part of that and lets us know about a lot of things. You realize that the way that a lot of prayer requests are now found out about is not email and not phone calls, it's what? And so don't just Facebook something and expect the church to know for sure. Okay? We try. But a lot of times, if you want the church to know what's happening and you want the prayer team involved, we need that email, we need that phone call or that text to make sure that happens. So thank you, Lynn, for what you've been doing. If you are interested, there's not going to be somebody manning that table, but if you want to be considered part of that, and the only requirement is that you pray. Don't sign up just so you can get information. That's what Facebook is for. Okay? But if you're going to be a prayer warrior, if you're going to take that and pray, sign up for that. If you've served on the prayer team, if you would, stand. Awesome. Got s'mores coming your way. Three more and then I'm going to dismiss you. The next opportunity that you have is our Rushton's Hope team. This is a part of our outreach team. And we are actually very honored this morning because Lorenzo Chapman. Lorenzo, if you would stand for just a moment. If you've not ever served at Rushton Hope, this is the laughter and excitement of the place. Lorenzo started out as a volunteer at Rushton Hope, and he served every week. And it actually worked into some employment. So now he may be as big bigger fisherman than Pastor Buren, so you have a lot in common. But he's not only a big fisherman of the fish, but he's a fisherman of people. He loves people. He serves people. And so Sharon and Ricky, if you would stand. Sharon and Ricky kind of head up our Rushton's Hope ministry. We are responsible for making sure we have a minimum of 10 volunteers on the third Saturday of the month. Actually it takes more than that because we have cookers that don't go to Rushton, but they cook here. We have servers that are actually serving at Rushton. We have dock workers that are out there getting the clothes ready and preparing them and getting them going. We are in need of some cleaners. You may not want to go and serve, but you're willing to be back here at the church when all of the dishes and things come back and you're ready to just start cleaning. We also have grillers. About 5 or 6 times a year on that third Saturday, our grill team is going out there. So, Lorenzo, thank you for what you do in our community each and every week, serving and administering food and love and care and dignity. And so we're appreciative of that. Sharon, we're appreciative of you heading this up. But if you've ever served at Rushton Hope, would you please stand? Mr. Jim said that if we get down and we're running out of bags, he's going to go those that have 4 or 5 bags and pass them around. So I'm not sure where we're at in that process, but we only have 2 more teams to recognize at this moment. Our next team that I want to recognize is our ushers. I know Pastor Buren made mention of it just a little while ago and thanked him, but Jim Lewis heads that up along with Ray Goolsby. And our ushers are vital. If you are interested in ushering, it's Sunday mornings. You need to be here and in your station by 9:30. Nobody's here at 9:30. People are just kind of walking around. I know, but people are going to begin coming in. And when they get that bulletin, or they get a good morning, or they get that smile, or if it's a visitor and they say, here's a connection card, we'd love for you to fill this out, it makes all the difference in the world. And so at 9:30, you're in your stations, you pass out bulletins, the greeting, you receive the offering, and then sometimes you do other tasks like pass out s'mores, you know. So whatever the case may be, we thank you for our ushers. There are some of our ushers that are part of our lockup team. We have folks that we need. I don't want to be here every Sunday locking up, right, Jenny? Got a thumbs up over there. And so having a team that is willing to do that is awesome. So if you serve as an usher, ladies and guys, would you please stand? Thank you. Then the last ministry that I want to mention this morning, or team that we have, is our women's ministry team. And they do a tremendous amount of work in this house. They take on projects. They spearhead things. It's really, really awesome to see them. There's not one particular leader, and even though there's two or three that kind of have gone to the forefront of different projects, but Linda Kendrick, if you would stand as a representation of the women's ministry. And what there's kind of three levels to the women's ministry, and you can be involved in whatever level, and they would love for you to go all the way to the third level. But that is, first level is attend or donate to an event. We just had the return concert this past or beginning of this month, and if you purchased a ticket, you made it to the first level. You donated funds, and you attended their event that they had put on. It's pretty easy, pretty simple. Second level is you can serve in an event, and it's usually the ladies that are serving, even though we have had some gentlemen biscuit cookers, and thank you, gentlemen, that have done that. But it's usually ladies that are doing that. But serve at an event or help with the biscuits or whatever the projects they may have going. And the third level, and probably the one that they would encourage you the most, is they have 2 to 3 planning sessions a year. And they would like as many ladies represented at those planning sessions to give your input as to what the projects they should be working on and doing. So if you are interested in that, Linda, if you will walk back to your table. Sure. Here, hold on.
We just want you to know, in our ladies' ministry, all are welcome. There is not, you know, just an older generation. We love our young women coming because they give new life. They give new suggestions. They give new ideas. And that's what our ladies' women's ministry is about. It's not, you know, exclusive to, you know, the group that's kind of been getting together for a long time. We love new faces, and we love new participation. So please know that when we hold one of these meetings, all are welcome. And we mean that sincerely. That's what we're all about. We're the women's ministry of EWC. Thank you.
If you would, stand. There are other volunteers in this house, whether it's the counseling ministry, but you can't just ask for volunteers for the counseling ministry. There's some certain qualifications that you must have in order for that to take place. Thank you for those that donate their time. Even some of our singers are volunteers. So whatever area whatever gift God has given you, all that we ask is that you use that gift to the very best of your abilities, to the glory of God, and allow it to flow through Eagle's Way so we can touch people's lives that come into these doors, people's lives in this community, and across the world. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving of your time and talent. These people are at these doors back here. We're not going to end with singing and all of that. We're just going to dismiss. But we would love for you, if one of those areas stood out to you and you want to get involved, if you will stop by, give your name and phone number or name and email address, and we will make that happen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.